Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Hello and welcome inside hour two of the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon.
Oh!
Where it is now 59 minutes until the Major League Baseball lockout. Tyshirt, I've said lockout like that like 50 times now in the show, and I have not gotten one big or a lock sound effect after. Where is
I got
that?
Something good for you. You want to hear it?
Yeah, go ahead.
Attention. Major League Baseball is in a lockdown. Repeat, Major League Baseball is in a lockdown. All MLB team talk is not allowed, especially the Mets.
There you go. I'll play it every time for you.
Wow, that's
that's very specific.
That is specific right there. That is. Was that your idea or Ralph's idea?
If you had to guess, who would you say?
I would say probably Ralph's idea.
Probably right.
I got you. Now, because I ask you, do the Mets play in the National League or the American League?
I think in the Eastern Conference League.
They do. They are in the East. Yes, you're right. They are in the East. Very good. Very nice. All right. The only thing I would say is a little bit of a whoop, 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 like some kind of or a hamp, 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 hamp.
Yeah, I don't know
something
about
like that.
That
I think is needed. I mean, hamp, 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 hamp.
Yeah, but that sometimes connotates other things.
That's
you
what I'm
making
saying.
That crazy sound is cool. But otherwise, people get nervous. And if a fine is coming, it's going against you.
How about from that one song where he goes, whoop, there it is.
I don't think it's that high. I think it's
if he gets
voice.
That high, that would be a nice remix. I'm in on that.
My God.
Or if you want to do it like in Thor Ragnarok, you are meeting the Grandmaster in 5 seconds. There will be a lockout in 5 seconds. Prepare yourself. Prepare yourself. Prepare yourself. Prepare yourself. Now that would work. Now that
and
I want.
That scream that Hemsworth does, that's about as good as it gets.
I want that. I want that. I want that. Prepare yourself. Prepare. The lockout will begin in 5 seconds. Prepare yourself. Prepare. That's pretty good. Talks between the league and the union ended after 7 minutes of negotiations Wednesday afternoon. It sounds like it's from a movie. Like when, okay, we need to make sure we got to show that the sides aren't getting along. Let's just have like a quick 30-second scene to show that there's nowhere to go and I'm leaving in a huff and you're leaving in a huff. 7 minutes? Really? You needed to sit down for what happened in that 7 minutes? Did something so incredibly crazy happen that, oh, I got to walk out of here? I mean, really, did Rob Manfred walk in and go, boy, I only see owners here I like. I don't know about you guys. Oh, well, I have never been so affronted in my life. Like, what happened in that 7 minutes that we didn't know going in? Like, the players walked in and said, okay, here's what we'd like. And the owner said, no, no, no. Oh, well, we got to have a lockout now. What do we do? Just walk out defiantly. Okay, I'm walking out defiantly. What could have happened?
Yeah, I have to wonder if it isn't the idea of ending a relationship or maybe at a job, right? If you only worked one shift at a place, then maybe you just don't show up. Right? I'm just not going back, right? A problem had by so many businesses right now and why you see help wanted signs pretty much everywhere is just that. All right, they're just not coming back. But relationships, if you've been, you know, hanging out with someone, you maybe you're married. I don't know. You can't do it in a text or, you know, by courier necessarily. You want to do the in face, and I think this was a, hey, you guys moving? Nope. You moving? Nope. How's the coffee? Coffee's good. All right. See you later. Maybe they decided on a date that has yet to be disclosed of when they'll talk again. I don't know. Maybe they just said, we'll meet after the holiday and enjoy Christmas. I don't know. Happy Hanukkah.
Listen, I have to make it look like I'm in here to mean business. Well, I have to make it look like I'm in here to mean business. All right. Here's what we do. We just sit in this room for a few minutes and then we walk out. and you can be mad, and I can be mad, and everybody wins. And oh boy, both sides are dug in, and you can walk back to your people, and they can say you rep them well, and I can walk back to my people and say, yes, I repped us well. What do we do in the meantime? Let's listen to American Pie. It's about 7.5, 8 minutes long, and when the song ends, we'll go out. All right, play it.
But don't we have one longer? Can't we play that All Too Well song from Taylor Swift? It's over 10 minutes. Then it really looks like we got it. It's like, nope, my kids have driven me nuts with that. Go back to American Pie.
Can't we play In the Garden of Eden by Iron Butterfly? Let's play the long version of Stairway.
I got a live version of Coma on my phone.
Dude, I can't. No, you're going to play Coma? I'm leaving. Oh, that might have been what it was. After like the first 7 minutes of Coma, that's
now,
when people
Grimace,
went, I got to go.
Now turn and slowly and grimace and hold your head like you're in great thought and consternation. And then just get back to your car. And we'll put out a press release at the 11th hour. Literally at the 11th hour. To say, hey, we're done. We're not doing anything else. $1.7 billion. That's what our buddy John Paul Morosi, when he joined us yesterday, that was his quick math on the contracts that had been signed. And obviously a couple other players disclosed what they were doing today. So add another, you know, 0.1, 0.2, whatever that added up to. Lots of cash, lots of flow, but still a lot of fundamental problems with the game, and the owners trying to figure out, well, how do we bleed more out of it without having to give anything up?
Prepare yourself. Prepare yourself. The lockout will start. Prepare yourself. So, yeah. I mean,
look, I like the grandmaster, allegory.
You like that?
That's good.
I would like to see Jeff Goldblum try to settle the MLB labor lockout. He would be really entertaining.
Well, I'm trying to find a robe like that I can walk around the streets of L.A. in.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, that is true. That is true.
I mean, that would rock.
Prepare yourself. Prepare yourself. Prepare yourself. Prepare yourself.
And then do that scream for 5 seconds. I mean, that's like going on one of the big roller coasters at the theme parks. Had another interesting back and forth after my fun down in Florida last week. But the point being that, you know, right before they blast you off, someone starts screaming because they're pondering their life choices. I'm wondering how many of the owners or certainly the agents and players, like the players that were getting close to a deal, before this guy is like, all right, should we take it? Should we not? Should we take it? Wait, now we're locked out? Damn it, now I got to wait? So, you know, you might have at least been able to extract a signing bonus before the lockdown went into effect.
Twitter and How About a Fresca, Mike at Swollen Dome, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon. So, yes, we are now 52 minutes away from the lockout. Prepare yourself.
The lockout. Wait for the night.
So if we get news, we will bring it to you. If not, we will count down to the it's like it's New Year's Eve. We're counting down to it. Like Ryan Seacrest should be in Times Square going, oh, the lockout's coming. When that big ball hits the ground, instead of the big ball, it's a baseball. And when it hits the ground, it explodes. Hey, when that ball hits the ground, it explodes. We got an MLB
lockout. Wait, is that foul or fair?
Oh, man. You know, I will say this. It does feel very throwback right now because – honestly, you and I, growing up for most of our 20s and 30s and early parts of our 40s, we had the threat of a lockout like every 3 years.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Like every 3 years it was, it could be a lockout, could have a labor strike, and all the big names you've heard over the course of the years, Bob Dupay, Gene Orza, all these names that were, people were so wrapped up in, and, oh, we figured it out, or here's a little bit of a labor stoppage, and now we have labor peace, here we are again. I mean, it has been a minute. You know, since we've really had to deal with a labor lockout story in Major League Baseball. So it's kind of a throwback to the days where, hey, every 2-3 years, yeah, we had this story. We're all good. We know how it's going to go.
Yeah, no, we had a lot of the good talk year after year. I mean, I still have my baseball from the World Series that wasn't sitting in my case of autograph balls. You know, because the White Sox were pretty damn good that year. Frank Thomas.
I feel like every team thinks they were great. Oh, that year our team was great. No, not every team was great.
No, there were three or four teams that were great.
Yeah, there were teams that were great.
And then the Expos became everything else, and then we had an All-Star game where, like, all of those guys played on the Expos at some point. How about that? but here we are at this point. Yeah, there was always the threat. And, you know, we've talked about it with JP before, Jason, where he'll talk about labor peace. I'm like, well, it is, but it isn't, right? It's like, yes, you did not have a work stoppage, but telling me that it was peaceful and that both sides were happy with the growth and their percentages and every piece of the business. Come on, don't lie to me. There was always frustration, and it just took one guy to hit the plunger, and all of a sudden we were going to have problems. And that's where we're at now. I mean, fights over service time, expanding the playoffs, and so many other things that add up to just an absolute mess, and giving in on any piece of it didn't seem to be in the offing. Players finally saying, well, we've saved up enough money to hold out, you know, on our side of things. And the owner's just shrugging, going, okay, that's it. So now we have going to be a long, protracted battle because, I mean, that service time issue, even though it really doesn't affect nearly as many players as we'd like to believe, well, they all become prominent players at some point. Hey, this guy's an all-star, and now he's fighting because he's stuck and he's still making $300,000, and under their control because of these arcane rules, not to mention the treatment of minor leaguers and everything else that piles up. So finally it came to a head, right? They were able to keep it from boiling over for low these many years. I mean, you're talking 25 years of finding a way at the 11th hour to keep the game going, and whatever unrest it was quelled enough to keep the business of baseball moving along. But now you have this. If you're out of the picture too long, and I think both sides have to recognize this too, you're still in a tenuous position as to your place in the, you know, pantheon of viewership, because TV's where it's at, right? I mean, yes, people are still going to go to ball games. They've always had butts in seats, but, you know, the rest of the growth, the digital growth, all of that you're counting on to go to the next level, being out of the public eye and giving, you know, fans another reason to just wave their arm at you and say, all right, I'll spend my entertainment dollars elsewhere, is a, you know, long view approach that, you know, they need to be cognizant of while they try to get their gain short term.
Now, and let me just end with this, because this is what really is the big thing that causes me to be nervous about this, is that the big threat is always, well, they'll never cancel games. They're not going to cancel parts of the season. They're not crazy. They're not going to lose all that revenue. We had a season last year in which the vast majority of it was canceled. And we had a playoffs and we had a World Series and everybody still owns their teams and nobody went poor. Nobody had to sell. You really think the potential, hey, we could miss games of April, that people are going to go crazy about that? Players are still playing. Players are still making money. Owners. Yeah, that whole caveat of, well, the missing the games is going to what's caused this to happen. That's gone now. The owners, they'll be okay with missing games if they're going to get more in a deal. Players will be okay with missing games if they're going to get more in a deal, because we've seen it. They've lived through it. It's not the thing they're most afraid of anymore. So that's the one thing that takes me out of this and thinks this is where it could wind up being really, really big deal.
Well, that's just it. I mean, most of the ownership groups, they've got other businesses that continue to fund whatever it is they're doing, right? They've got war chests. On the player side, you know, that's what they're trying to claim, that they're in a much better position to, you know, really dig in. But the question is, you know, once we get to February and even before then, will they really? Will they be so resolute, or will we start seeing cracks again?
Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike gets swollen dome. The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. AutoZone has the free services you need to help you get back on the road, like their free AutoZone Fix Finder service. If you're having trouble starting your car, AutoZone will test your battery for free and help you find the issue so you don't spend money on parts you don't need. With over 5,600 locations nationwide, AutoZone is here to help you save time and money with their free service. Getting the job done just got easier. Restrictions apply, so get in the zone. AutoZone. Coming up next, we got Rick Bucher stopping by to break down all the big news in the NBA. What the hell is going on with LeBron James? Are the Warriors and the Suns really that much better than everybody else? I'll keep it right here. This is Fox.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
I hate that song.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon. Big night in the NBA. We got Rick Bucher on the way in a couple of minutes. Help us break it all down. He's got a big piece on, hey, Suns or the Warriors? Who's the best team? Who do other teams think is the best team for the playoffs? As we're already talking about playoffs here. We're 22 games into the regular season. We got that. We got LeBron.
Who's the MVP?
Drama. Who's the well? Clearly the MVP is Alec Burks. Okay, when you bench Kemba Walker, no. The MVP talk. It's really interesting that clearly there is a push to give an MVP to Steph Curry at some point. Oh, he's supposed to be the MVP last year. Now he's got to be the MVP this year. Well, I told you why he's not. It's got to be Steph Curry. Every year, no matter what Steph Curry does, how good his team is, how bad his team is, Steph Curry's got to be the MVP. That's been the only real talk of MVP-ness so far. But let's talk to the man who's got that piece coming up right now. He is on Twitter, at Rick Bucher. That is at Rick Bucher, FS1. NBA insider extraordinaire, longtime friend of the show. Rick, what's happening, my man? How are you?
I am doing well, gentlemen. I hope you had a great Thanksgiving holiday and that you have been nice enough that Christmas is going to be just as pleasant. Or Hanukkah.
Well, I hope so, but I kind of have a bone to pick with you because, you know, the last time you were on the show, you talked about what a great run the last few days has been for the Knicks, and boy, you're happy. And then I get that craptastically officiated game last night, and I go, you just jinxed us. Everything was going great till you said, boy, what a last great couple of days you had.
They stayed close with the Brooklyn Nets when they had no business staying close to the Brooklyn Nets. So I have no idea what you're talking about. Overjoyed that they were not embarrassed in the Barclays Center. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
See, that was part of what was a difficult night for Jason yesterday, Rick, in that, you know, being the Q's guy, we had Buddy Boeheim on. So he was out to dinner with his dad, so he was all mad and trying to call in feverishly. So between that and the Knicks loss, it was the perfect storm for him.
Yeah, well, you know what? I there are times where I will take on your burdens, Jason, but this is not one of them, okay? You're going to have to walk this. You're going to have to walk this sorry path all by your damn self. All right.
Well, that's okay. Let me tell everybody that Rick's got a big piece coming up soon for the Fox Sports app on why Buddy Boeheim is the number one pick in the draft. It's going to be a 10,000-word opus, interviews with his entire family, so be on the lookout for that. Speaking of the app, you did have about the Warriors and the Suns. Look, clearly the two best teams in the league up until this point. It is early. They had the big showdown went the Suns' way. You talked to a lot of people around the league, and I know playoffs is a long time away, but which team do exactly? Executives and evaluators think, hey, this is the better team here.
Yeah, with them facing each other twice this week, I think everybody's focused on, you know, what happens this week and who wins. And obviously the Suns got the first one. But in talking to an array of a half dozen or more of execs, scouts, coaches around the league, they're all of the belief that when we get to the playoffs, that the Golden State Warriors are better suited to be the team that ultimately comes out of the West, which I found is a little bit of a surprise in that you have the Phoenix Suns to basically bring back 10 guys from the team that went to the finals last year. And the only real question you have is, can Chris Paul stay healthy? But otherwise you would expect that team overall is going to get better. And that collective experience would put them over the top as far as a playoff team is concerned. Because you're looking at the Warriors with one Toscano Anderson and Jordan Poole and even Andrew Wiggins, any number of guys that are part of that team that have little or no playoff experience. But their view is that, one, this is as good as the Phoenix Suns may get. Like, you don't know that they're going to get appreciably better. Where the Warriors are right there neck and neck with them, and they're expecting Klay Thompson back at some point, and they're expecting James Wiseman back at some point, and they didn't have Andre Iguodala playing the other night. And so when it comes to the playoffs, if you take the first five, six, seven players the Warriors have, they could very well go with a rotation of guys that have won a championship and in some cases multiple championships, as opposed to the Suns, who have 10 guys who have been to the finals but still don't know what it's like to win at all. So there were a number of factors that they all – and what I found interesting is that each person that I talked to had a different reason for believing that the Warriors would be the better playoff team. One was that you've got the best player between both teams and Steph Curry. One was the motivation factor, greater motivation factor for the Warriors, their offense and their versatility, and obviously the collective experience at the top of the atop of the rotation. So a multitude of reasons why people were picking them. And it surprised me a little bit because they did say they don't think the margin is, the difference is that great, and there is a chance that the Suns could come out on top, but they're very leery of the Suns being as Chris Paul dependent as they are. And I think that was the number one reason why they have their doubts about, can the Suns be this all season long?
Check out all that work on the Fox Sports app. Check out Rick's commentary and, well, blowback at Jason Smith for some of his Knicks love. At Rick Bucher on Twitter as well. R-I-C.
We may just have to have a separate, like, column.
Okay.
And we'll call it blowback.
I like it.
Blowback.
Well,
like
see, there's the – hey, you could pitch that as a show over at FS1.
Yes. Yes. Without question. And we'll have the little up in the little square up in the corner with Jason's face.
I like that. Me or Buddy Boeheim's face. Either one. Either face would work.
Okay, now you're killing the bit. Look, LeBron James out at least 10 days, needs the two negative tests. Lakers get the win over Sacramento. They're above 500. But between that and tweeting out something fishy going on here, we've got the Lakers, the constant source of entertainment and fear here in Los Angeles.
Yeah, you know, I hate to complain. You sound like the grumpy old guy on the porch when you complain about what players, you know, do on social media. But I'm so tired of guys who have millions of followers, whether it's LeBron or it's Kyrie or just about anybody, and they put out these mysterious tweets, and then we all like get all hot and bothered. What does he mean by that? Is he talking about COVID? Is he talking about something else? Is he talking about Adam Silver? Like what is – I just – it's like, would you stop? Would you stop? Are you catfishing us? What are you doing? Are you trolling us? And we shouldn't take the bait. So I have no idea what that tweet means. I do believe that – if you ever wondered whether this was just a star-crossed season for the Lakers, we're what, 20, we're 20, 25 games in, and LeBron James is now missing time for what, the third time this season? And they still, you know, the Kings win the other night aside, the Pistons win without him aside. It is, they are so LeBron dependent that I don't, and him missing as many games as he had for a variety of reasons, I just don't see a happy ending to this story for Lakers fans at this point. But I'll come back to it. I don't know about you guys. I mean, look, sometimes it makes for good fodder for us and it gives us something to talk about, but it's so banal, is it not? It's like, what are we doing? Can we just ignore when, and whether it's an athlete or a celebrity or whoever it is, throws out some cryptic tweet and we lose our minds trying to figure out what it is? I feel like we should just delete the account, or that, like, maybe they need to go into Twitter purgatory for a week for toying with us like that. And I can't even tell you why it bothers me so much right now. I can just tell you, you know what it is? It's freaking, Jason's got his problems, and now on top of it, LeBron apparently has his problems. And that's just two people that should never have problems in their lives or advertise the fact that they have problems in their lives, because otherwise they have a pretty sweet life. I think I just came to the conclusion of why it bothers me so much.
See, I think it's also, you must have spent some time on your personal Facebook account earlier, and someone said, "Oh, what a day." And you're like, what happened? And then you found six more people that had the same thing.
See, I'm not on Facebook. That is the one platform that I excised from, largely because somehow they locked me out of my account, and I was like, I tried everything I could to get back in, and then I was like, fine, you don't want me on Facebook? I don't want to be on Facebook. I'm not going to be on Facebook. It was very childish of me, but I'm actually really glad that I did it. It's one less thing for me to get worked up about.
Well, two things. Number one, I actually had you banned from Facebook because you had too many anti-Knicks posts. So I had you banned from that. That's first thing.
So Jason, before we go any further, let's just make it clear. There is no such thing as having too many anti-Knicks posts. There is that bar has never been set.
Okay.
And if it was moved a long time ago.
All right. Well, here's now where I'm going to help you, right? Because if I have you banned, I want to help you get great mental space and feel good about things. Next time you break a story about something, instead of breaking, hey, so and so agrees to a 6-year, $240 million contract extension, tweet out, whoa, guess who just agreed to a 6-year, $200 million extension? Wow, so, big news.
So, you know what? Here's the thing. So I got a crazy text over the holiday weekend about somebody suggesting to Jeannie Buss that LeBron James be made the player coach and that they were going to bring Bill Laimbeer in as kind of his second in command and his whip cracker, right?
Well, it was a holiday weekend. People might have hit the wine watching the Raider game.
Yeah. So anyway, I thought it was an interesting thing to think about. Like, if you can't, technically you can't, they ban player coaches. It's weird. It's not written in the CBA specifically, but the league has kind of let teams know we don't want player coaches. It's an unfair benefit or advantage. We just don't want to go down that road. So it couldn't technically happen, but I was intrigued by the idea of, would LeBron want to do it because it would be a feather in his cap, another feather in his cap that Jordan doesn't have, and just the ins and outs of what would he want to do it or what he wouldn't want to do it if he could. But I thought, God, it would be so clickbaity if I did a podcast on that and then I put the headline, LeBron is player coach? ? I just thought, no, I can't do that because this would be taken way too seriously. So all I said was a wild Lakers coaching change rumor. And sure enough, somebody listened to it and texted me back and said, damn it, that was such a clickbait headline. I can't believe you did that. I'm like, I tried to avoid that. What are you talking about?
And then you said, when my check clears from the ads, from all the clicks I got, I'll send you a bottle of wine, pal.
I will say that particular episode did do very well.
Rick Bucher with us, the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon live from the Fox Sports Radio studios. All right, now, not because I wanted to ask another question about the Knicks, but it just so happens that we talked about the Lakers and what they could possibly do, what other teams are doing. And now you're starting to see some potential dominoes maybe be available in trade. Maybe now Kemba Walker has fallen out of favor with the Knicks and he could be had. Maybe John Wall, the return could be a predication or a precursor to a trade. Are we going to start seeing big names come up here and we could start seeing the rumor mill churn on this for a bit?
Yeah, I mean, I think as soon as we get past, December 15th, when some of the signings over the summer become, when some of the more contracts or all the contracts, not all, but most contracts become eligible to be moved. The number one, the interesting thing for me will be, I think as of December 15th, if the Lakers wanted to move Russ Westbrook, they could. And so the question will be, are they going to look at that? Is LeBron going to have them look at it, or is he going to stick with the idea? No, I wanted Russ here, and so we're going to ride this out and see if we can make it work. I know there's a lot of people out there saying you can't trade Russ Westbrook. Look, he's been traded two times already with a huge contract. I don't know that it's impossible to move him. John Wall is an interesting question, just because the contract is so big. It's so big and unwieldy, unless you had cap room, I don't know how you absorb that contract. You wouldn't. You'd have to have a really equally bad contract to send the other way. And, you know, Kemba might be out of favor in New York, and maybe the Knicks would be willing to roll the dice on that. But if you could make it work, you can't trade Kemba's contract for John's contract as of right now. They don't come close. And I don't know that you'd want to give up other assets that the Knicks have, even if they had a contract big enough to backfill, to make that work. That's the biggest issue with John, is that the teams that might have cap room are rebuilding teams. You don't have any use for John Wall if you're a rebuilding team. And on the other hand, if you're a team gunning for a title or even a playoff spot, and you might be able to use John Wall, the pieces that you would have to give up, the contracts that you would give up, doesn't make it worth it. So that's where they're in a real difficult position. I think the thing for me with John, and one of the reasons why I think he wants to come back and play, knowing that he isn't, isn't likely to get moved this season and play elsewhere, is simply, and I would say this for Ben Simmons and Kyrie Irving and all these guys, like maybe John Wall's a little far down the path, but you look at some of the guys that are making the Hall of Fame and the numbers that they have collected in order to make it. And, as of right now, John Wall's Hall of Fame percentage of getting in, according to Basketball Reference, is 32%, which isn't great, but was higher than I thought it would be. But that's actually higher than what Reggie Miller's was. And Reggie got in, 5 years ago or whatever. So I'm looking at some of these guys, and I'm thinking, do you realize that you are maybe affecting your legacy or your career numbers by sitting out all this time or missing a season in your prime, that could be the difference? And I don't know whether that matters to any of these guys, but I think that's one of the things that I look at now. And the idea that I made the NBA, I realized my dream, and now playing in the NBA is optional because of whatever reason, is a really a disappointing development for me when it comes to seeing guys who, for one reason or another, have voluntarily decided, I don't want to play in the NBA. When I guarantee you that when they were 15, 16, 17 years old, their dream was simply to get to the NBA.
He's on Twitter, at Rick Bucher. That is at Rick Bucher. Don't forget, on the Fox Sports app, Suns or the Warriors, who is more primed for the postseason? And don't forget, yes, coming soon, 10,000 words, why Buddy Boeheim is the number one pick in the NBA draft. Rick, as always, buddy, appreciate your time. We'll talk
right
to you
after I do the big expose on Bones Highland, only because I'd rather say Bones Highland than Buddy Boeheim.
Blowback with Rick Bucher.
Yeah, blowback with Rick Bucher. We got Buddy Buckets. Now that flows. If blowback with Bucher has Buddy Buckets, I mean, you have to make that your first show.
Yeah, baby.
Yeah. All right. Take it easy, buddy. We'll talk
see you, Rick.
He's got to lower his voice, too. It's blowback with Bucher. We got Buddy Buckets on with us right now. Buddy Buckets, what's going on?
Well, I don't know that Rick smokes.
No, doesn't matter.
It takes some years to get to that.
You can affect
lower
the voice. You may only be able to do a podcast for a few minutes, but you can still do it.
I was going to say, I mean, you could do it as an open. Hey, what was the cool guy that did your open? Well, I can make my voice do this. It's like Alex Brightman, who was Beetlejuice on Broadway. Normally, just very bright and loud and boisterous. And then he goes into he can do something with his throat. So all of a sudden he's got this crazy affected voice in characters. Like, how the hell do you do that? And why can you do 8 shows a week? It's like, well, I've got this weird physical thing that allows me to do it without hurting myself. It's like, most of us don't have that, Jason. And you would potentially mess up Rick Bucher forever.
We're saving money. I'm the host. I'm also the voice guy. Hey, I get paid to do two jobs. For what?
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
He's Mike Harmon. I'm Dan Byer. We have a brand new fantasy football podcast called I Want Your Flex.
twice a week, every Tuesday and Friday, we come up with new episodes to not only look back at what happened, what you need to do at that minute, and also look ahead of what's coming up in the fantasy football world.
That's right, Dan. Every week, we're going to scour the waiver wire to find the pickups to turbo boost your fantasy lineup, sits, starts, fantasy football players' rankings to get you ready to dominate the competition.
Listen to I Want Your Flex with Mike Harmon and me, Dan Beyer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon.
Yes, sir.
It's going to wind up being too late. Even though the warning bell was sounded today, it's going to be too late. Today, Cleveland Browns GM Andrew Berry talked about the confidence they continue to have in Baker Mayfield and said that he expects great things out of Baker Mayfield after the upcoming bye. Take a listen.
With Baker, especially from a, you know, from a long-term perspective, you really try and take, you know, a big picture approach. You know, it's about body of work over, you know, really over several years, and also taking into context the environment or a particular individual situation. We've seen Baker play a lot of good football here. We've seen Baker play good football, you know, this season. And I know he's excited and we're excited for the opportunity ahead of us, you know, and we expect him to play his best football moving forward over the next 5 weeks.
Oh, just because. It's just going to magically happen. Yeah, you take a wide-angle lens because, well, we got to decide. You know, we got the he's got the option year next year. Is he really our quarterback? We really want to sign him long-term. This is kind of the warning. Hey, we expect Baker to play our best football. What has shown you he's going to do that? I mean, what has shown you in the last 6 weeks that says Baker Mayfield's about to turn it around? Because either he stinks or he's hurt, and he stinks because he's hurt, or both. What do you suddenly think is magically going to happen and Baker Mayfield's going to be great? Okay, he's been awful. They were lucky to beat the Lions 13-10. They got blown out by New England, and they somehow lost to get the first game in NFL history where a quarterback threw four picks, and it was a +4 turnover differential with interceptions, and a team lost a game. It's not going to magically get better. It's not. You're not going to suddenly in a week go, oh, we've figured out all our issues. No, you need to be bold. I know you're hanging around the playoff chase and you feel that, well, you know, we don't want to make anything too drastic. No, this is the time to be drastic. You can sit him down and say, you know, Baker, you're not healthy. You're really banged up. You're not helping us right now. We got to go to Case Keenum. You need to do something to give your team a spark because this is just not working. It isn't. The last 3 weeks, 45-7 loss. They win 13-10. They lose 16-10. They had the big explosion against Cincinnati, and then it was 10 points, 14. Been good. This offense has not been good in over 2 months, and Baker made that leap. I get that you're embarrassed because this success and this relevancy for Cleveland is new. Hey, people are talking to us all the time. They talk about Baker Mayfield. Boy, we lose Mayfield. Oh, people aren't going to talk about us anymore. But you're trying to win football games, and you can still try to find a way to salvage Mayfield if you want to at the end of the season, and you can talk about him being hurt and play somebody else to battle with him for the starting job if you want to go that way, but you're just being too timid. You're expecting things to change just because, and that's the definition of insanity, doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. It's going to be difficult. They're going to lose games, and that's just how it's going, but this is where Cleveland say, oh, we want to warn you, Baker, you better start playing well. No, the time has passed for that. It's time to make a move for now, and that's Case Keenum to see if he can make the team go.
We're in the bye week, and then coming out, you look at the schedule. Baltimore and Vegas at home, at Green Bay, at Pittsburgh, and then home against Cincinnati. Good luck navigating that. Jarvis Landry had 111 yards in this latest game, the loss to Baltimore. That was the third 100-yard output by a receiver slash tight end for the Browns this year. You had David Njoku did it once. Donovan Peoples-Jones did it once. And then you have Landry here in Week 12. Your offensive line, you've lost a couple of key components to it due to injury. Your running backs have been in and out of the lineup because of injury. And Baker Mayfield, from if you're to believe what we've been told, he's being held together by bubble wrap and duct tape. that does not bode well for the end of this season. So either you cut your losses and realize, hey, you know what? It ain't happening in 2021. Or you really need to, over this next week, rethink exactly where you are. Because you're still sitting there at 6-6. AFC seems wide open. But is it open for you?
Twitter at How About a Fresca might get swollen dome. It just ain't happening. I'm telling you, Cleveland. Telling you. Coming up next, we are 6 minutes away from a huge sports deadline. Fox.